The title of my talk is 3D optical scanning for non-contact soil clod shrinkage curve determination. And this is a little study that was done by mainly by my PhD student Till Zander. He developed this method as part of his dissertation. The motivation from this study came from a collaborative research project where we intended to study soil structure dynamics effects on preferential movement of water and solutes in paddy fields at different scales. Here you can see the flooded paddy rice fields, and here the method of soil puddling. That the typical puddling means the soil is softened and homogenized for transplanting the rice plants, and but also the subsoil is a little bit compacted to reduce the water losses. In this case, soil compaction is an intended, intended in, and the cracks in the summertime or when after the harvest can affect the properties of this compaction pan. So. And despite of this puddling, we observed preferential flow through the compacted layer. Here in this dye tracer study, you can see that the dyes, the flow passes in the topsoil, in the puddled topsoil, and there are a few passes going through the more compacted subsoil down here. And this picture on the right side shows the crack network indicating the surface, direct surface of the plow pen. So the shrinkage properties are important, and we try to measure the properties of these, the shrinkage properties of these soils. And for soil aggregates and clods volume determination, there are several methods available, but the most used is the classical Zaran method. It works according to Archimedes' principle, where the clod is covered by a semi-permeable membrane. But this method has a few shortcomings, because the impact of the coating has to be considered, and there is sometimes the possibility of water penetration during submersion during the measurements. And of course, it's only possible to use this method for shrinkage and not for swelling. And alternative methods are less suitable. The X-ray CT methods are more complex, and laser scanning is also possible, but has not, to my knowledge, it has not been tested too much. So we thought, well, there are some optical methods used in, for instance, for example, in dental techniques to measure the 3D geometry of these tooth here for reconstruction. And we tried to test this method and to for assessing volume change of complexly shaped clods from the soil. And we compared this with the standard Zaran method. Here are some soil properties from the paddy rice soil. Here we have the number R is the topsoil, B is the compacted plow layer, and C is a more originally structured subsoil, as D also. The CT scans shows the macropore distribution. Here again, on top of the plow pen, you can see some more lateral or some higher porosity, and here's a few vertical channels in the subsoil. And the CT Hounsfield unit distribution shows the bulk density in principle, which is relatively low here and goes up to 1.6 in the compacted layer and then up again. So the texture is clay loam, so the clay content is not very large in this soil. The shrinkage properties are also very small. The samples were prepared here. We used clods of this size, around a few centimeters and with about 45 grams. And they were saturated capillary by on a ceramic plate up to minus 4 hectopascals for 37 hours, and then fixed on these construction on some nails, and we used the flexible wire and this oven hardening polymer clay to fix them on the top. We used for each of the four depths and five replicates. And the measurement device here we used is from an institute in Berlin, GFAE. It's for applied informatics. And they developed this apparatus. In principle, the apparatus belongs of a plate which can be turned around, a camera and a projector. And here the picture shows the camera here, the projector, and the sample is here in this place. And in this, with this apparatus, you can make pictures from 14 or other more positions, so the whole geometry of the 3D object can be covered from the outside. The approach is from photogrammetry. Here, where is this thing? It's a coded light approach for rough coding, a phase shift for refined coding to obtain spatial coordinates from each of the 14 positions. And with this, the lateral resolution can be 0.1 millimeter. The distance resolution, so in horizontal distance, the lateral is a horizontal resolution, and the distance resolution is a little bit better, 0.04 millimeters. And the scanning of a single object takes about 7 to 8 minutes. Then you obtain from all the 14 different positions, we obtain these point clouds, the measured distances in space, and they need to be combined to one point cloud in the same coordinate system. And these need to be refinished somehow to eliminate some points outside and to eliminate the nails here, the effect of nails, to come up with a refined point cloud object. And this needs to be triangulated, and there we used a software also developed from this institute that minimizes basically the distances between these points and in an adaptive triangulation procedure. So from this 3D object, from the volumes and also the surface areas can be calculated. So here's an example of the measurements. For this clot, for instance, we obtain the mass and the volumes. And this times here are the night times where we stored the sample in a cooler to avoid further evaporation. So the reference, we used the Zaran method. The same clots after the procedure were resaturated again for 48 hours. They could not exactly be saturated at the same water content, but the difference was relatively small. We used the standard method described by Bronswick, and also we used the original correction Bronswick for Zaran coating, and we used after our own observations modified correction. Particle densities were measured, and the final dried objects then were used for both methods to calculate the final shrinkage curves. So here's a comparison of the two methods versus time. So in principle, the Zaran method uses this, the bottom time axis, and the 3D method, the top time axis, but they are in principle at the same line. This is only the night period. For the shrinkage curves here, the void ratio versus the void ratio versus the moisture ratio, we obtain shrinkage curve like this. This is for the upper horizon. The 3D method yields these results, the green ones. The Saran method yields the black ones. They are for the original from Brunswick suggested correction. They are a little bit off. With the modified correction, we can shift them a little bit closer, mainly shift because the amount of Saran, which is not correctly captured, shifts these curves to the other side. So let me go back one more time. Then we observed also water penetration into the objects for the Saran method. And if we use a water penetration correction here, a small amount of water, they both match very nicely. And for all these objects, we then found for the A, for the upper horizon, and for the plow pen, these shrinkage curves for the clots. Here we see relatively larger shrinkage properties in the topsoil. And here is one clot, probably includes some more compacted sub-aggregates or smaller aggregates. And here, consider the scale. The pore volume is much smaller here, as expected, in the plow pen. And the shrinkage also is relatively small. For the subsoil, shrinkage curves look like this. They all match quite well. And so I come to the conclusions. This optical 3D method allows volume determination of the irregular shaped unconfined clots without disturbances and without water penetration or other effects that is observed with other methods. The method yielded similar shrinkage curve as compared with Saran without the limitations, and it provides additional morphological parameters of the geometry and the surface roughness. This method may allow also repeated measurements of swelling during infiltration or visualization of anisotropic shrinkage. So the main thing, I think, is the main thing would be the possible, what is not captured maybe is the possible effect of fast evaporation during the optical measurements that produces some kind of a non-equilibrium, and we assume equilibrium condition for the shrinkage curves. So further improvements are possible, mainly with respect to data processing. So I thank all the people that were involved and also the financial support from the GFG and you for your attention. Thank you very much. So, any questions or comments? Okay.
At the point where your moisture ratio is zero, is the soil then at the often dry state, or is it at absolute zero? And how do you do measurements in the often dry state?
Well, the soil is in the often dry state at 105 degrees. And that was only, we measured the often dry state at the final after finishing all the other measurements. So that's principally all. And of course, then we determined the volume in the often dry state we use normally another method. I forgot to say, that's right. There's a GeoPUC, it's an instrument which uses a scaled cylinder and with some plastic spheres, very small plastic spheres. They can cover the whole object from all sides, and they behave like a liquid. That's a geopic from instrument. Maybe you don't know that. It's like if you use some small sand to surround the object from all sides. Yeah.
Theoretically, the line, the curve should become horizontal, the slope should be zero, when you reach that point of arthritis. And I noticed in several of your curves that sometimes the slope was still positive, and sometimes it was negative, but going back up again. Of course, in the arthritis state, there is still a worrying sort.
Yes. Yes. Well, that is in the range of the measurement error, I would suggest, because that is these are very small objects, and the change of water contents and are very small. And